All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing? It wouldn't be The Usual Suspects if we didn't start talking right in the middle of a queue. Barry is here. I'm here. And more important than anything else, don't call it a comeback. Nick has returned from Sin City, albeit without a very important piece of technical equipment, but however...
His penis? What?
No, that technical equipment has checked out beautifully,
thankfully,
Barry, after the
thankfully
weekend.
Thankfully, I cleared security with
the bottom
with
line
my penis.
Is, Nick is back, and that makes us all very happy.
Yeah. Yeah, thank gosh you didn't leave your penis
yeah.
in Vegas.
That's, cleared security, that's everything news. Is cool. Yep.
But I don't know how much you want to divulge, but on either front, but at least overall, it was a very good weekend for Nick.
It was. It was a great weekend. I mean, I got to go see Triple G Canelo. I mean, one of the biggest fights this year in the boxing world outside, obviously, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor.
Thanks to good restaurant establishments in Vegas and wherever they were coming from, it was also right down your wheelhouse geographically for people that fit a certain category for success for you, if you know what I mean.
No, I have no idea what you're
yes, you do.
About. I have no
yes,
idea.
Yes, you
what
do.
What are you?
What's Nick Slump Buster?
Yeah, there were plenty of them there.
Yeah,
there were
you even said to us. Of
them. Yeah, I just sent that as a joke, but it was true. Not that I was pursuing.
Vegas is the melting pot. There's always going to be slump
exactly.
busters in Vegas,
wait,
no matter what your
you
slump
pursuing.
Buster is.
Not that.
Now, since we gave you specific orders to keep sending us updated pictures to kind of give us a biography of and chronologically follow you through your ventures in Sin City, and you didn't do that, I assumed. Yes, I could make an ass out of myself with this one, but I assumed the lack of updates was because your time was being taken up.
Yeah, I was real busy. I mean, I had two shows to produce, one at 9 in the morning that went till noon Vegas time. Then I had a two-hour window, and then I had to produce The Blitz from 2 to 5 Pacific. But in that two-hour window, sometimes, you know, there was, you know, people walking around. That's when they serve food. So that was kind of like my break time. And then when I lost the iPhone, I was not in the mood to take any pictures. I had my, you know, my backup trap phone with me, but I didn't take any pictures after that. I kind of killed the mood, but it was still a great weekend, man. I had fun. I had
Did
a lot
you,
of fun.
On a scale of what am I looking for here?
I don't know. On a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of weekend did he have?
No. On a scale of 1 to David Hasselhoff eating cheeseburgers on his floor, how drunk did you get?
There was only one night that was like that.
Like you, like, how drunk were you?
It wasn't like I couldn't walk or anything like that.
How, like,
or
bad
I was passing out.
Okay.
Just
were
bad
you
decisions.
You so, were drinking with Fred and AJ?
No, I was not.
Uh-huh.
Smart man.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But they did take me to, for the first time I played Hold'em, two Hold'em tournaments. And I'm telling you, I have an addicting personality. I had so much fun, even though I lost the money. I had so much fun. But yeah. I was good. I lost $120, and that's it.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Now, did you play anything else? Did you play craps like I suggested?
I did not. There was literally no time, dude. It was just not enough time. Otherwise, I would have.
It's a waste.
No, so let's know you passed over the lead. So lead story A is iPhone does not come back with Nick.
Yeah, I left it in. That was the bad night. I left it in a cab, and whoever hopped in that cab next did not want to return it because I was on my Find My iPhone app from my laptop, and it was just going everywhere. I mean, it went to the Cosmopolitan, then it went to the Bellagio. Then it went to some place called, what was that, Spur Saloon? You guys heard me in the production meeting trying to call this bar that...
The Rusty Rump Saloon.
Yeah, something like
that.
Rusty
Rump?
Yeah. Rusty Spur Saloon. That's what it was.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, so...
By the way, yeah, your phone, as we have followed, has really lauded onto your frequent flyer miles. It's been all over the place.
Yeah, and there was an appropriate tweet that whoever took my phone did take to Twitter and... he tweeted something about Floyd Mayweather females. I would never tweet something like that, so I got to delete it.
I was going to say that's what Jose showed shocking me after the show yesterday.
That was
yesterday.
Not my tweet. That was
and he was like, this can't
tweet.
Be Nick. Nick would never do anything like this, and I agreed.
Yeah. I mean, I'll talk about females and stuff like that on Twitter, but not like that.
It was egregious.
Yeah. But yeah. But it was fun, man. I mean, that was an experience. So I had a great time.
Well, good, man. Well, welcome back.
Yeah, we're glad you're back.
Yep. We missed you. The peeps missed you.
Did you tell Barry you're refreshed?
I did not, but okay. I'm refreshed.
What?
Nick's refreshed.
What does that mean?
Well, you were playing in a lot of ways. That's up to Nick. But the bottom line was I was telling Nick that you were.
Oh, now I get what you're saying.
You were one of the, yeah, but you were one of the odds in on if he might partake in certain things that are available in Vegas.
The hookers?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not.
No? Well, good for you.
They actually cracked down on it. I'm being honest.
You would have lost more than $120.
I know that for sure. A lot more. But no, at MGM, like, full disclosure, it's a great, you know, MGM took care of us and everything. They've really cracked down on that because they, you know, they tend to walk in some of the nicer hotels on the strip and kind of, you know, offer themselves and
so
offer
they, yeah. So they're not trying to pick you up at the bar anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
there's just not walking. There's just nowhere nearly as many of them. Like at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night on a Friday or Saturday night, they were all over the place. It just wasn't like that in this fight. It just wasn't like
that. So they're cracking down in that they're not walking around, but you can still order an escort if that's what you want, right?
I'm sure it's still legal. Yeah, okay. I'm sure it's still legal. It's just in the hotels that they had a problem with.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're not staying in the hotel and you're just
walking around hoeing.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't like that.
Yeah. Did you get kicked out for walking around hoeing?
Okay. I wasn't that weekend.
Just making sure. Yeah. Well, you never know.
Yeah. Okay.
Nick be hoeing.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
Okay. I'm just going to leave it there for now.
Why?
No, because I am.
I want to know why.
No, first of all, let's get this out of the way because your CSI hat is not on like it normally is. Barry is not the normally overly inquisitive Barry right now.
That's
but Nick,
true.
Since the lead was that, at least in one regard, the phone is gone, we need to find out if our listeners can help because you and I've been partaking in trying to track this thing down. And we've got some guy that's using your phone, and we need that phone back. So if anybody's out there with ideas how we can get this thing back from the Rusty Butt Saloon or wherever it is and get it back in Nick's hands, we need help. We'll put that out there.
It was more about the information on the phone, I think. Through iCloud, you can erase it remotely, but
you can.
I could be wrong.
You can. You absolutely can.
So I don't want to do that until
Barry's your IT guy. Get
my new iPhone.
Well, what you want to
first.
Do is you probably want to log into your iCloud to make sure that your contacts have synced and then wipe the phone.
Yeah, well, they're all automatically synced. Every time I add a new contact, it goes up to the iCloud.
Right. But then, yeah, so just wipe the phone if all your contacts are synced and before they get all the juicy info off of it and your D-pics.
No
D-pics. You don't want that on there either.
No D-pics.
I have a feeling that there's some pics of your D on your phone.
Any Brit
I really
pics?
Feel like
huh? I just want the Tecate girl pic, which I think is on iCloud.
Yeah, it probably syncs there.
So I think it's all there.
Okay.
I think it's all there.
Any Brit pics?
No Brit pics.
Okay.
I know where you're getting at, buddy.
I know. I'm just asking a question because I was just curious because
what are the inside jokes? No one knows what this is.
That wasn't an inside joke. That was something I told him in the production meeting, and he didn't give
any
context as usual.
There.
You can't. So, yeah, but you can't do that. You know there are people listening that have no idea.
It's okay. We're gonna. I think we'll cover it at some point. So even if it's a general blanket statement, but I was very pleased that Nick had a great weekend. How are you not grasping this?
I'm not.
I just don't know.
I'm not. I mean, you guys, if I'm not grasping it, imagine what the listeners are doing right now. They're just like
me. It's always
I have
me.
No
it's
idea what's
me
going
that,
on right
yeah.
now.
Okay. So if you want to join in on the phone or help Nick get his phone back, you can reach us today at 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call us, you can text us, and or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And our mission, if you choose to accept it, is to try and get Nick's phone from Las Vegas, Nevada, back to Houston, Texas, with really blatant disregard for the guy who took it because he's not being very helpful. So we're going to try and do that. Along the way.
I appreciate it. But also, man, I'm mad that I missed that Astros game. I was on the flight back to Houston, and I was like, man, I'm so upset I'm missing this Astros game.
I saw you tweeting about how hot Josh Reddick looked in the locker room.
I did not do that. Hopefully, probably that guy in Vegas, he might do that.
Yeah.
That was weird.
My question is, since everybody was comparing him to Colby Rasmus for his locker room antics, they very much honored Colby the next year with a bobblehead. Will they do the same for Josh Reddick and a Speedo?
I doubt you're getting a Josh Reddick and a Speedo bobblehead. Okay. I would hope not.
I would hope not either.
I'm certainly not standing in line for that.
And you don't know what's bobbling. You just know that, hey, the Astros the Astros might really have some marketing spunk.
Why is it plural? You'll see.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got plenty more to get to on the show. That's right, your Astros are division champs for the first time since 2001. So we've got Astros to talk about, NFL and college. Charlie Pulillo joins us at 1:30 from 1:30 to 2, and a whole lot more. So please, partake in the show. That's why we call you the usual suspects as well as the show. Be back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of f***ing in the club tonight. What? But it's gonna be alright. Yeah.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the Usual Suspects back on ESPN 97.5 on a rainy Monday afternoon after a lot of football this weekend. As we mentioned, Charlie Pulillo joins us 1:30 to 2 o'clock. I'm sure we'll get to the Astros and maybe some NFL, but always good to catch up with the Usual Suspects. First, with Barry, with Nick, and myself catching up after a weekend where Nick was away from us. Yes, in case you were trying to guess with Barry in the dark, but Nick made a new friend. Very, very pleased with that for my man Nick, and he is working his best to improve international relations as she was from outside the country. So I was very pleased with the occurrences of the weekend for my man Nick.
I am staying out of this. I am completely staying out of this.
Barry's staying out of this.
I am not involved in this. Nope.
Vegas is a melting pot, like we mentioned, so I definitely went out and, you know, hung out and met new people, and that's what we do.
I'm happy for you.
You know, there's my favorite type of conversation in Las Vegas is in the elevators, because everybody just seems to be just turned up in the elevators, and they're always talking to people in the elevators.
Like friendly?
Yeah. They're just, well, where are you from? What are you doing? What are you here for? And they're just, there's a lot of drunk people that go up and down the elevators. And yeah, it's actually some of my favorite conversation is in the elevators.
Just
in Vegas.
Going around riding elevators.
I don't go around in Vegas. That, yeah.
Who needs the club?
Yeah, but yeah.
Going up? Yeah, hold on.
I don't need a tour guide. I don't need money for shows.
I don't want to gamble. I just want to hit up the elevators.
Just ride elevators.
Yeah. Nick, you going to the casino? Nah, I'm going to ride the elevator for a while.
All 60 floors.
They got waitresses on these elevators? Oh, well,
unfortunately, no.
I'll bring my own.
There's a lot of barfing and throwing up going on in Vegas, though. A lot.
Yeah, of course there is.
All over the place.
Of course. That's like a
staple.
Yeah, it's a ritual in Vegas. Yeah. If you don't throw up, I feel like at least once in Vegas, you did something wrong.
No,
unless you're with someone that's not like a... Like, if I go with my wife, I'm probably not throwing up because we're not gonna tie one on. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to get hammered. But, like, if I just go with you guys, I'm pretty sure I'll vomit at least one time over a weekend.
Like, you'll push yourself that much?
Well, no, I'm just saying it'll probably happen.
Okay.
Because then, you know, the shots get bought and...
I could see you, like, on the top of, like, at the on top of the Palm or on one of those where they do the, like, at, was it 50-some floors up and they do that glass bottom where you can stand there and look down and you can see all the way to the ground. It looks, you know, like you're standing... Uh-huh. In midair, I could see you just going, let's go over the edge with it.
No, I wouldn't
let it fly.
I'm classy when I throw up. I my pinky's up and everything. I'm very classy.
That's not shocking.
When I'm vomiting, I'm very sophisticated.
Okay. All right. So we know Nick had a good weekend. You have a good weekend?
Not bad. Not bad. I got the old chainsaw out, did some man stuff around the yard.
Trimmed your toenails?
Cut up.
No.
Cut up a bunch of stuff, watched some football, slept a lot.
Did you watch the fight or hear about it?
I watched the fight.
Okay.
I watched that fight. And
you bought the pay-per-view, right?
Of course, Nick. Why would you? What are you talking about otherwise? Was there another way to watch it that I'm
not
aware of?
We're not aware of.
I mean, you're the guru when it comes down to that stuff.
What?
Yeah.
All I know is that I paid my hard-earned money for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, how much was the pay-per-view?
It was a lot of money. If you get HD, it was a lot of money. I'm not Googling. What are you talking about? It was a lot of money. Yeah. It was so I guess we can get what did you think, Nick? You were there.
I mean, I scored the fight for Triple G. I can understand why people
are upset. What rounds to what? How many?
I did 9 rounds for Triple G and 3
what?
Rounds for Canelo.
9?
AJ did 8 rounds for Triple G and 4 rounds for Canelo.
I had it 6-6.
Did you really?
I did.
So you're okay with the draw?
Legitimately, you had it as a draw.
I had it as a draw. I put that on Twitter. People were like, wow, nailed it. Okay. It wasn't 18-10 Canelo by any stretch of the imagination. There was one, maybe 2 rounds that could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. So if Triple G would have won, you know, 8 rounds to 4, I would have been okay with that. If Canelo would have won 8 rounds to 4, I would have been okay with that. Because I felt like there were rounds that could have gone either way, but I really felt like this fight was a draw. I don't feel like Canelo got enough credit in some rounds for the amount of punches that he was deflecting and causing Triple G to miss. A lot of those punches were hitting his gloves and not him.
Especially
so
the
those
right
aren't
hand.
Scoring. Yeah, so those aren't scoring. So a lot of times I feel like people watch these fights and they see the power punches and they see the numbers get put on the screen and assume that Triple G won the round because he had more power punches. That's not true. Those little peppering jabs and all those other punches, those count too. And you have to look at how many of those shots that are landing. You know what I mean? Of all the shots that are getting thrown, you have to look at what's landing versus what's getting blocked or deflected or missing. Because sometimes even it would look like Canelo would get hit with an overhand right, but he would actually be moving his head away from the punch at the same time, like looking away. So it either was a glancing blow or didn't hit him at all. But yeah, I have no problem with the draw. I think what was it?
118-110.
I think that was maybe a little egregious. You know what I mean? If you give him the fight, if you give him 7 rounds to 5.
So you bring up fair points, right?
You know what I mean? That's okay.
They're saying
because 118 is winning.
The ratios they were saying, though, in those rounds you're talking about of punches thrown to punches landed were like monumental in favor of Triple G in the middle rounds. But if you missed it, Adelaide Bird is the judge in question. She scored the fight 118-110. Canelo was getting a lot of scrutiny from everywhere, including Twitter. And Nick, did we verify if she's been taken off?
She's going on a quote unquote small break to get out of the limelight, according to the commissioner, or not the commissioner. He works for the commission. His name is Bob Bennett. I forget his exact title. I want to say executive director, but I don't hold me to it. But yeah, I mean,
but 118 is giving Canelo 10 rounds. Canelo did not win 10 rounds in this fight. That's just not possible.
Yeah, like you said, he did a good job of dodging a lot of those punches by Triple G. But I think one thing he did a poor job of was the jab, defending the jab. He just at the first 2 or 3 rounds, maybe not so much, but after that, Triple G was just he kept hitting him with the jab, and I think that's part of the reason why those who picked Triple G to win, you know, that might have been a contributing factor. But yeah, I mean, I like I said, I scored it for Triple G.
Yeah.
A lot of those rounds could have gone either way. I found the 5th round and the 10th round to be the most exciting two rounds in the fight. But yeah, it was a good fight. And now it looks like it'll be there could be a Cinco de Mayo rematch.
I think there will be. I think you nailed that as soon as you tweeted it out. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But the problem is, so like I gave Canelo rounds 1, 2, 4, 5, 10, and 12. And those were the rounds I gave Canelo. What I don't understand with boxing is why not have an odd number of rounds so that there can be no draw? And then you might get a majority draw, or you might get points deducted that would cause a draw. But if you go 13 rounds or 11 rounds, this doesn't happen because that third judge can't score at 114-114. Somebody's winning the fight, either Canelo or Triple G. So why not go 13, especially in a fight of this magnitude? And I'll tell you why, because a draw in boxing to me is like a tie in soccer. It's pointless. Like, why even play then? This smells like a money grab. I'll be honest with you. 118-110, that's fishy. Well, it's different if it's close. That's fishy to me. That's way too, you know. And then for Oscar De La Hoya to criticize the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and then this happens, it's a bad look for boxing. And this is why people migrated away, including me. This is why I moved away from watching boxing, because it's not that the sport sucks. I love boxing as a sport. The Sweet Science is a beautiful sport. Promoters are ruining boxing. Judges are ruining boxing.
The corruptness is around the sport.
Yeah, the fact that they're in cahoots is ruining boxing, and this is another example of that.
Now, Bird gave the four. I was curious what you when if you were scoring it along with the fight. She gave Triple G the fourth and the seventh. But in rounds four through nine, the middle rounds, Triple G outlanded Canelo 113-78, outpunched him 379-241, and landed more power shots, to your point earlier, 63-47. The two middle rounds that Adelaide Bird gave to Triple G, the only two she gave him on the night were the fourth and seventh rounds.
I had him winning the set. Well, I had Triple G winning the third, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and 11th. I felt like he did the bulk of his work in the middle of this fight. I felt like Canelo started good, and he ended well. But Triple G kind of controlled the middle of this fight. But it's a 12 round fight, so you've got to, you know, that's what happens, because people were like, well, but look at all the work he did. Yeah, but if you lose the first three rounds and the last three rounds, it's a draw. Yeah, like you've lost six of the 12 rounds.
And I think the other problem is they're not big fans of giving 10-8s in boxing very much.
No, hell, you're just now getting MMA judges to start considering it. Yeah,
and I think that's another thing, because if you look at some of the fights, like if they're like one, it was a slip. One punch that Canelo landed on Triple G, it made it look like he got wobbled, but mm-hmm. It was a slip. But if something like that happens, man, I tend to give a 10-8 round. Like if you drop somebody, if it's a knockdown, I'm definitely giving you a 10-8. Like I'm not just going to expect you to come back unless you come back and dominate the rest of the round.
Right.
I'm probably going to give you a 10-8, but they don't like giving 10-8s over there, so it leaves for a lot of room of leaves
now,
room.
Now
for
she's draws. Experienced. They said she's done MMA.
114 fights total, title fights.
So,
I believe
Nevada State Athletic Commission Executive Director Bob Bennett said right after the fight, Adelaide, in my estimation, is an outstanding judge. She's done over 115 title fights or elimination bouts. She does a great deal of our training, takes a lot of our judges under her wing. I think being a judge is a very challenging position. Unfortunately, she was a little wide. I'm not making any excuses. I think she's an outstanding judge. And in any business, sometimes you have a bad day. She saw the fight differently. It happens. You good with that?
I don't know if she was watching the fight. If she had 10 rounds for Canelo, you weren't watching this fight. You know what I mean? They just. I will say this, though, regardless of how terrible she did, I was impressed with Canelo. The fact that he was willing to stand there in many instances and trade with Triple G was impressive to me. And we knew Canelo had a bit of a chin, but that's a dangerous proposition when he had, especially early in the fight, he had ample opportunities to circle out, get his backs off the rope, which you never want to be against the ropes. Normally, you don't want to be against the ropes with a guy like Triple G and the punching power that he has. But Canelo would circle out and circle back in and put his back against the ropes again. I think he felt more comfortable there.
Almost like he was trying to prove a point.
Yeah. And then, you know, he was leaning forward with his head. Now, luckily for him, he was keeping his hands up the whole time he was doing it, but he was leaning forward.
He was taunting Triple G, too. He took a couple chin shots and just kept shaking his head like, that's not going to get me.
But I think part of that also neutralizes the power of Triple G, which was smart, and it was one of the reasons I had picked Canelo to win by decision, because I feel like he's a better technical fighter, better footwork, better defense. And by leaning in and doing those things, keeping his back against the ropes and causing Triple G to come to him, you're negating his punching power because you're not on the end of his punches. He's got to shorten his punches now. You run less of a risk of getting knocked out. I thought early on and at the end, he fought a beautifully technical fight. He just lost it in the middle. He stopped. He got tired, or those body shots started wearing him down.
Part of it could be the fact that this is the first time he's made 160.
Yeah.
Triple G on the other side has made 160.
Well, I think he fought once, right? Or above 155?
This is the first time he's made 160.
Yeah, so he fought once above 155, but I don't think it was at 160. I think it was like 58 or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, might have been. And but I think that had something to do with it, because I felt like he was fatigued at the end, in my opinion. But yeah,
it looked like it. I mean, it looked like he faded down the stretch, but he, you know, he knew he only had a couple of rounds left. And to me, he's lucky he picked it up there at the end. So overall, I thought good fight. I don't know if I would pay for it again. But you want it to be above board, and I just don't feel like it was.
People say it in terms of the entertainment value of the fight, it was worth it.
It was a good boxing match.
Just not the result.
It was a good boxing match. Yeah. All right. Right now, guys, I want to tell you how you can save some money on your electricity bill, and it's through a company called Energy Ogre. And what I want you to know about Energy Ogre, first of all, they're not an electric company. They're a technology company that actively monitors the market and finds you the best rate based on how you use electricity. It's real simple to use Energy Ogre. Go to their website. The first thing you'll notice is they have a calculator that you can use to figure out kind of what you're going to save by switching to Energy Ogre. And then you sign up. And once you sign up, that's it. You're done. They handle the rest for you. They're going to go out and find the best company with the best rate that matches how you use electricity. On average, they save their members between 40 and 60% off their electric bill each month. Last year, $21 million is what their members saved. I'm living proof, guys. I signed up in January. Since January, I've saved $642 with Energy Ogre. When it started in January, my bill went from $160 the previous year to $68 this year. August, last year, I had a $281 bill. This year, $132. If you're counting at home, $149 saved using Energy Ogre. Why are you not doing this? No hidden charges, no hassles, no catch. Satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't like it, you cancel. It's that simple. Anytime you want, you can cancel. But you're not going to cancel because you're going to be saving a ton of money. Go do it right now. EnergyOgre.com. Use promo code Barry and you'll get your 13th month free. That's EnergyOgre.com. Promo code Barry. Go save some money.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects, all present and accounted for on a Monday afternoon. And of course, the person of interest that joins us Mondays and Fridays, 1:30 to 2. He being Charlie Polillo, he being the host of 11 to 1, the Charlie Polillo Show on 1560 AM. And of course, starting October 1st, Sports Map 94.1, where you know, now have no need to ever go back to AM for sports again.
Works for me. So which of you two made the first women driver, women's boxing judge joke?
Nope.
Neither one of us. We leave those for
me.
AJ.
Was that you? Did you make that?
No.
Are you sure?
Quite.
Not on air.
I don't know about our driving, but the whole judging part, and I heard you guys as I was warming up in the bullpen. You could plausibly argue, I think, that Canelo won a close decision. I don't think he did, but I think you could plausibly get there.
I could.
The absolutely impossible, reasonable judge outcome is that Canelo won a lopsided fight.
10 rounds?
118, 110.
That's ridiculous. Too much.
And you do the math on it, no 10-10s, which can pump up the numbers a little bit. She had a 10 Canelo, 2 Golovkin. No even rounds. It's bad.
Yeah, what I say, the fourth and the ninth,
eye of the beholder, but her eyes failed. And I don't know if you hit on this angle of it. Have an opinion on open scoring in boxing, which comes up from time to time. That round by round, the judges scores. And I know it would suck a little of the drama out of it. Let's go to the scorecards. Mm-hmm. But in what other sporting event do you have no idea of the score as it's happening? And I'm referring to judged sporting events. Olympic gymnastics. After each apparatus, you know your score. You know where you stand. Olympic diving. I think it's 10 dives. You have your score. You know where you stand. And if the crowd would have been booing the you-know-what out of the woman judge or Golovkin's corner catches, what? She has this down 4-2? Does that impact how you fight? Does he try to step on the gas sooner, for better or worse? Does he spend more energy earlier, and then Canelo can get to him late?
Well, I think part of
I think that fight, that scoring was an argument for open scoring, that we know what the score is during the competition.
But if you do that, you take away some of the drama of the fight, and you're also talking about if a guy gets up early on the scorecard, he's going to coast. If he knows he's up, he's going to coast.
De La Hoya did that years ago against Felix Trinidad and wound up costing him the fight. So if you
there's
the drama.
Other than risking the knockout.
If your football team is up 31-10 and you start nursing the lead and playing prevent defense, that's the risk that you take.
Yeah,
you had to go there
boxing,
today, didn't
if I'm
you?
Up 5-2.
You really want – I'm not paying, $80, $70 for a pay-per-view fight to sit there and watch a guy coast because he won the first 7 rounds. And run for the next 4 or 5 or whatever the fight ends up going. I don't
want to
see that.
I like it because the guy behind, whether the other guy's trying to coast, he's going to be hyper-aggressive. He's going to go hunt him down. He's going to be on the complete attack to try and chase him down because he knows where he stands.
Canelo's corner told him, without knowing how it was being scored, Canelo's corner told him, you have to win these last 3 rounds. I need the 3 rounds of your life.
And he was right.
Actually, no, not really. On the one card, he'd have lost his split decision, I guess, if he hadn't won the last 2 rounds on all the scorecards. But I'm just for light over darkness on this one.
Well, I'm okay if you want to, like, expose the judges' scores to the television audience or whatever, but to put it up in the arena and let the corners know and all that, I think in the end that could be a detriment to boxing and to the to the energy of the sport and the way that you watch it.
But is there another sport, a competition, where the participants do not know where they stand during the competition?
I can't think of any.
No, it's a great point.
I mean, Miss America, they do the talent competition. You know where you stand.
All right, settle down. That's not a sport. Miss America's not a sport.
Even on the Hooters Calendar Girl competition, right?
Right, they... Round by round, they cut the field down. You have an idea of where you stand. In boxing, you don't know until the very end, unless, of course, there's a knockout.
Nick?
I just think the problem with that is, though, like if fans could see it or if the fighter knows, it impacts things. You know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't know that information because they should just look at the fight from an overall view and then score their cards. Because if you make that information public in any way, shape, or form, I think it leaves way more room for corruption. Like, I'm so bad.
Well, I don't know if it leaves more room for corruption. I don't know if I agree with that, but I do agree with you that it changes the outcome of the way that it would be handled by both corners.
Well, if you're winning a baseball game 8-1, you'll pitch differently with that kind of lead
There's a reason why there's a scoreboard in almost every competitive event in athletics, and I didn't think about it until you brought it up, but it's very valid to me, and simply because of the fact that you react based on where you are. If you know you're down 10 with a minute and a half, 2 minutes to play, you're going to go full court press. You're going to go crazy. But if you are up 10 with a minute to go, same scenario, you're probably going to go, you know, run some clock and try and run the game out. But
UFC is the other sport that you don't know. So I guess any combat sport you really don't know until it's over.
Pod.
Muay Thai, kickboxing, you don't know until in combat sports for whatever reason.
Now, and to your point, too, with the corners, though, but what everybody's making assumptions.
And what sport is more corrupt than combat sports?
The NFL, maybe?
I mean, what? Do you want to start really like talking about cycling and some of these other
Good
sports
answer.
That are pretty corrupt? No, cycling's pretty corrupt. Gymnastics,
but you know where
times,
you're on the course. It's cut and dried. I'm pedaling faster than that guy. I'm winning. I know I'm winning. Everyone knows I'm winning.
But if you like
boxing,
it based on assumptions,
you can be kicking the other guy's ass and be losing.
That's what I was gonna say.
And
yeah,
not even know it.
But at the end of the day, though, it still comes out that she scored at 118-110 and looks like an idiot. It's just you don't know in the middle of the fight. So the corruption gets exposed either way. It's just not exposed at the moment. So it doesn't change the way that the fighter fights or backs
Teddy
off
Atlas's
or runs
point
or whatever.
On that? Because, again, you're going on the assumption, and everybody's in both corners was going on the assumption, this was a super close fight. And then, obviously, they found out one judge didn't see that way, so that was a bad assumption. But when you talk about it, yes, in this case, you had two guys that are going to be hovering around the top. There's going to be a rematch, more than probably, I would think. But in a lot of cases, these guys go and push their whole life is on the sport of boxing. It's their whole career. And because of one corrupt judging, they may never get another shot again.
What if Golovkin wins another 13 fights? That would be 51-0. One more than Floyd Mayweather for all time, the greatest undefeated championship record. That's off the table now because he got a draw on a fight that he won.
At least at minimum, he
definitely did not lose.
I had it a draw. So I disagree with you that he won that fight.
I think you could reasonably have gotten there. That's why it didn't bother me. The one judge who had it a draw and then the one had it, 115? 113 Golovkin, if you had him close.
Yeah, like I said, I
but
felt
we have
like,
consensus, right? The only get out of here,
yes,
judges ruling possible is that Canelo
winning
10
rounds.
Them over 12 rounds.
Right. Yeah, not
John Granato says figure skating corrupt and yes. A judge sport.
Yes, boom.
But after the compulsories, you know what your score is. After the short program, you know what your score is. So going into the free skate, I think they call it, you know where you stand.
Granato also said the Bar Olympics, but that's not that hasn't been sanctioned yet. So with that being said about the fight, the good news in Houston is the Astros took care of business. Justin Verlander looked fantastic again. For the first time since we've all been in this town long enough, since 2001, they win the division title for only the seventh time in the history of the team. But it seems like they've righted the ship. They look like they're going in a positive direction. Now only a game and a half behind the Indians for best record in the American League.
And you get the scrubby White Sox for the next three. The same scrubby White Sox who swept them three up there. I thought the single best moment yesterday, aside from them clinching the division, when Correa hit that home run to dead center, because he's been scuffling badly since coming off the disabled list. If he finds his stroke and gets in rhythm and has another 2 weeks to get there before the playoffs, just that it so furthers the deepening and the potency of that lineup. But George Springer seems to be out of his funk. Bregman could stand to pick it up. Nitpicking, just because sometimes it's fun to pick nits. Would you guys have put Altuve in the game in the top of the ninth? It's not a big deal, but I kind of felt like he should have been on the field when they clinched the division.
I thought about it. I know he wasn't even, his spikes weren't even on. And I know, you
that's
know,
okay. He could have gone
the
out
way AJ
flip-flops.
Likes to do the whole, you know, making sure, you know, guys that I give a day off to, I'm going to stay firm, fast, and saying that's a full day off. But I see your point. That, you know, that kind of guy, that guy with that with the season he's had should be on the field.
And could you imagine, though, if they put him out there and he collides with some with Reddick in the outfield and he's out? Hell no. I'm just fine with him running on the field to celebrate
I also would have sent Verlander out to the mound for the eighth inning, knowing I was removing him.
So he could get
come
get
out,
the
get the standing ovation, his first home start. The guy was brilliant again, and a 70% capacity crowd could have cheered for him.
Verlander threw three starts with the Strohs, weak. In no, case you missed it. 21 innings pitched, .86 ERA, giving up 10 hits, striking out 26, and only walking three.
He's pretty good at baseball. He's pretty good at pitching.
And relationship
And I don't think he...
For square bodies.
I don't think he lacks panache, but compared to Big Unit, who is 6'10", all arms and legs in the mullet, Clemens is a local icon and the old man coming back and dominating. But Verlander's been every bit as good. And I'm sensitive to the fact that we're still not all that far removed from Harvey. Well, the Texans didn't have 32,000 people at their game last week. That barely 30,000 tickets were sold for Verlander's home debut in a clincher. For any individual, there are all kinds of reasons to not go to the game. I'm just saying,
it goes back to a discussion we had last
town,
week.
As a sports
yes,
town.
I tried to tell Joel last week. He talked about the Indians and the streak and 20 games. And would they, would
and
the Indians.
Too. They drew 19,000.
He talked about
what
the Astros. He talked about what the Astros draw more. Yeah. And I said, no. Because this town doesn't support like that. You got to be in the playoffs and make it a big deal.
With a national story, and I went back to the 22-game Rockets winning streak, I said that they do latch on to kind of the hip and now current thing, and I think that's why they would have drawn more.
Sunbelt front-running city, which doesn't make it better or worse as a city, but as a sports city, Houston, Atlanta, Phoenix, Dallas are much more akin to one another than Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit. It's just how it is.
And you can also blame the fact that a lot of people move here. There's very few native Houstonians. Yeah, there's very few native Houstonians, it seems like.
I noticed you didn't mention L.A. in that group.
I throw them in as well.
Did you see those numbers?
Yeah, USC and Texas drew 84,000.
USC outdrew the Chargers game and the Rams game combined.
Damn.
Yesterday.
Get it together,
so
L.A.
So there you have that. All right, we've got one more segment to go with Charlie till we hit the 2 o'clock bell. So stay with us if there's something you want to ask or get involved with. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us up with a tweet. We're here till 4 Usual Suspects with much more on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects in hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. Charlie Pulillo joining us like he always does Mondays and Fridays, 1:30 to 2, after he gets done with his show from 11 to 1 on 1560. And, of course, don't forget October 1st, the Sports Map, 4.1. You can find him on the FM dial along with us. We were talking before the break on Astros.
Yeah, somebody had the question, and I think it's a pretty good question. With the remaining games of the Astros season, do you try to battle for the best record versus the Indians, or do you say forget it and try to get your staff positioned and set up for the playoffs?
I first and foremost have said all along how important I think best record is, simply because of the matchup and catching someone with their starter already burnt and used in a wild card-ish game. I'm very passionate about it. I watch it on a daily basis with the standings. I keep an eye on the Indians. And ideally, I want them to get that. I know that they're playing better baseball now. I just like it from a matchup standpoint in terms of everything that it brings to the table.
If they were three or four games behind the Indians, I could see just saying, forget it. We'll just focus on the playoffs and get. You're only a game and a half back. So I think you still try at this point. Once it starts to creep past that, couple, three, four games. Okay.
Yeah, I think the answer is both. You absolutely go for it. But in Verlander's next start, if he's thrown 114 pitches in a 1-1 game through seven, you don't send him out there for the eighth. Hinch lifted Keuchel after six innings on Saturday. It was 6-1. I had no problem with that. He was at 90 pitches. He certainly could have gone out for the seventh inning. His last couple of starts, he'd been over 100 pitches, but he was on 5 days rest. But they have their eyes on the big prize. The foremost objective is now cleared. You're not a wild card team. You're set up. You get your pitching. And they have to be mapping it out now. When does Verlander want to pitch his remaining couple of regular season starts ahead of going in game one? Unanimity now? It has to be him in game one.
Yeah.
I really have said it all along.
As opposed to Keuchel.
I know where everybody wants to keep their loyalties, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think it was Granato and those guys were discussing maybe two because then he could pitch in game five. But my point is, if you don't get to game five,
right.
You leave that bullet in the gun. You absolutely, Justin Verlander needs to pitch twice versus either the Indians or the Reds.
And just to follow on the question, if Altuve is a little wearied that, okay, you back him up 2 days off with yesterday off and the day off, you adhere to that. If Springer wakes up and his quad is a little tight, if it's a playoff game or you're battling to make the playoffs, he might play. Well, now you sit him, even though you're maybe suffering a little bit in the chase of the Indians. The good news is they have home field basically at least wrapped. The Red Sox are six games behind them now. So just make sure you're five games ahead of them before you go to Fenway, and then you can play those games however you want.
Mm-hmm. In case you play the Red Sox, you don't want that last series to mean anything, but also you don't want to show off anything. That's why I would avoid showing them a steady dose of either guy, Keuchel or Verlander, who you're going to see the most in a series against them, and not tip too much off. And then to the points you guys were making in following the quotes and the comments of the guys in the team in recent days, AJ Hinch sat down with both Verlander and Keuchel and said, to your point, hey, we want to scale it back a little bit. Don't want to give you too much work. Both guys were adamant about the fact that they still want to pitch like it was the middle of the season. They want those innings. They don't want to be scaled back. But because he had the big lead, he did it with Keuchel for sure. And then the other thing was, adamantly in the locker room after the game, the guys were saying how focused they still were on getting that best record, which I liked.
Well-timed off day. It was a day game yesterday, so even if the partying carried on for a few hours, I imagine they could have summoned it back up. But I mean, they've earned it. You know, they had 2.5 months where they were a mediocre team, but that's not uncharacteristic of even really, really outstanding teams. Somewhere within a 162-game schedule. So they dominated the league to get to 42-16. Built that comfort zone. No one else in the division's any good. And so they run away with it, and it's a significant achievement. And even if they get bumped out in the first round of the playoffs, it does not diminish this accomplishment.
And, you know, you talk about them being down and building that. I mean, you think about this. This is a team that's only a game and a half behind Cleveland, who went on a 22-game winning streak, and they're only a game and a half behind. That tells you how good they played leading up to this point where they kind of dipped a little bit. And if you believe the ESPN and the way that they have this lined up, Verlander and Keuchel will be pitching in Boston. I would be really surprised if that happens.
Oh, no, I think they're going to insist, because if they don't pitch in Boston, that means the latest they will have possibly thrown is Wednesday in Arlington. One guy Tuesday, one guy Wednesday. So whoever's pitching Tuesday would not pitch again until the following Thursday. The Wednesday got to the—I don't think they want more than a week off. So maybe you just go out and you treat it like a spring training game. You throw nothing but fastballs for five innings or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think they want to get that routine in and get the sweat in and pitch at Boston. Your point to not show off pitchers when the batter's going to turn around. But hey, they'll get swings at Sale and Pomerantz if it is indeed them winding up playing Boston. If they go past the Indians and they're going to the whip that weekend to finish ahead of the Indians, then it'll be the Yankees or the Twins or the Angels or whoever comes out of that wild card.
But why not flip them then? I'm okay with that. I mean, you make a valid point, but Keuchel would be pitching on the 26th, that Tuesday in Texas. Why not flip him and let him go that Wednesday, the 27th, so that he gets that work in, but it doesn't matter, and it's not against Boston, and you know what I mean?
I think ESPN, when they post the down-the-line rotation, they just go by rote. They look, this guy went, that guy went, and the conversations. Because Hinch, whether it's tough love or that, at some point, Dallas Keuchel is going to have to be told, you're the game two guy.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're flipping you guys here, and you're pitching on two extra days rest in the regular season. We'll get you closest to what your desired pattern is ahead of your playoff start. But Verlander in game one's the priority.
Yeah.
Interesting, too, you mentioned the day off and how well-timed it was. I was curious, and I don't know that it's ever happened, and you guys may remember something, but because of the day game on Saturday and the win and the magic number, had the Angels lost Saturday night, when do you celebrate? Because of the fact that you would all have been in your houses or your wherever you were away from the clubhouse when the Angels' final out was logged in if they had lost. And then the next day, you got to come to the ballpark. Some of the guys said, well, we'd wait till the next time we won a game. We don't want to celebrate on a loss.
Not the same.
But that just would have been really weird.
Yeah, it would have been buzzkilly.
Hey, but FedEx guy out. Just stopped by. He dropped off your hat and your shirt. Congratulations, you're division champs. That would have been weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, no locker room celebration.
Yeah, I'm glad that they got to do that. I thought it was really cool that George Springer leads the team around the
very cool.
the stadium, giving high fives. Well, that was great. I'm happy for the city. I'm happy for those guys to get to be able to have that moment. I saw Jake Mariznick come out, which I thought was really cool.
Yep.
I don't remember who said it, but they said they were glad the Angels won. I was too. I really wanted to see them be able to celebrate like
and
that.
And if they're getting there, they're back ahead of the Nationals. So as it stands, anyone but the Dodgers, World Series goes game 6 and 7, they'd be at Minute Maid Park.
What
you going?
What day would Josh Reddick have to have that outfit back to you after the celebration?
Just think of him as Colby Rasmus, but good.
Yeah, but we said no bobblehead there for next year, unless other things bobble. Okay, Charlie Pelillo has been joining us, as he always does, Mondays. And again, we'll see him on Friday, 1:30 to 2 o'clock, as we appreciate him and his time. Again, catch his show Monday through Friday, 11 to 1, 1560 a.m., and soon to be starting October 1st on 94.1 FM, The Sports Map. We got 1 hour in the books, 2 more hours of The Big Show. Don't go anywhere. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.